It's again my privilege to be here with you and to share your enthusiasm for Jesus. Appreciate the audience tonight and the response that we had. And appreciate everyone that has come out with a consistency during this meeting to help us present the Lord Jesus and to testify of the gospel in Archdale, North Carolina. I'm so thankful for everyone that loves Jesus. Everyone that loves Jesus is special. They're very special to God. They're a very special person in this world. They're not like all the rest. They're very special because they are sons and daughters of God. And the God family is a big family. It's not big, comparatively speaking, you know, when you think of the world. But it's a big family, and it is a great family. It's the only one of its kind, the God family. Brother Al sang the song tonight, "I belong to the family of God." If you don't belong to the family of God tonight, you're missing the greatest thing that ever happened. I can truthfully say tonight that I belong to the family of God, and His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. And that thrills my soul. You couldn't give me $1 billion and make me as happy as that one thought, knowing that I am a son of God. Hallelujah. So then it's wonderful to be a Christian, and it's a wonderful privilege to be able to come together and worship God. I want to say tonight that I appreciate every one of you, those that have stood with us in the finance. It takes a lot of money to carry the gospel, and we don't bother people for money, but God always meets the needs. I go somewhere and pray and talk to God, and God meets the needs. I was sitting back here tonight, and when David said the offering wasn't as he thought it ought to be, in the way that he expressed himself, the Lord spoke to me and said, "The man David Allen will help meet the needs in a great way tonight." And so it was. I sat there, and Brother David moves by the Spirit of God, and God moved him. You say, "Well, how do you know it was the Spirit of God?" Because God spoke to me before He did it. So then, the Lord still meets the needs. There's two ways to do that. One way is to let God speak to you and tell you who's going to do it, and then sit still until He does it. Another way is to get up and say, "God showed me there's 15 20s here tonight," and tell them who's got the 20s. So we do it one way, and some do it another way. But anyway, as long as you get it, I guess that's all right, you know, if that's the way you feel to do it. But I thank the Lord for the blessings of God. Brother Allen, he hasn't just give $500, but I've known him to give maybe $24,000, I believe, at one time in the offering, not to us, but to the ministry or some minister. He has given many times. He and his wife have sacrificed much. The care of the gospel, and God has greatly blessed them. He has greatly blessed them. I hope that you'll give me time to talk with you a few minutes tonight. I'll try my best not to weary you nor hold you too long, but I'd like to talk with you a little bit about the goodness of Jesus and the wonderful things of God. So many of our friends that are here tonight, and they have been during this meeting, we've had so many people with us. A lot of turnover, had a lot of new faces here. We had all of them together that come here. We wouldn't be able to get them under the tent. We've had such a tremendous turnover of new faces. But we're thankful for those that are consistent in coming, because they're the ones that really help carry the load, you know, and present Jesus. So tonight, we're very grateful for these people, and certainly appreciate these that have stretched out and made a special effort to help us in the Carolina meeting. Now, you might not understand, but see, this is just one little leg or one little move of our world outreach for God. It takes many multiplied thousands of dollars just to keep a few radio programs going and to keep the tent going and to keep the literature going and to keep the musical end of it and the records going and so many other things. Overseas work, nothing happened. We're going into Korea pretty soon, and I'm expecting a great move of God in Korea. I believe God's going to do a great outstanding thing. They're wanting us to come, And we're planning to go. We'll probably be going into some other places. They've really pleaded with us. Numbers of them have to come back into Jamaica. And I guess we'll go back over there and try to do a little something for God in that area. But I want you to pray for us because, as I say, it takes many thousands of dollars. And we don't ask anybody for it. The Bible teaches, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh or goeth down to Egypt for his help. So then we go to God for our help, and we ask God to support our ministry. And I've told my wife this a number of times. I said, Betty, if God doesn't support my ministry, then I need to quit, because if God doesn't support it, he doesn't want it out there. And if he doesn't support it, I don't want to be out there, because if he doesn't want me there, that would be the wrong place for me to be. And I said, if he has called me into the ministry, he will support me and see that everything's taken care of. And there are some here that can vouch for the fact that he's done it with many hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so then we're grateful tonight for everyone that has contributed to the cause of Jesus Christ in our life and in our ministry. And I hope and pray and trust that I've said some little something that might help you on the way and encourage you to be able to stand in the wicked and the dark days that's about to come upon the earth. I appreciate your reverence and respect, and I know from time to time people have to get up and they have to leave the services. They're pressed with necessity, and I understand that. Going out and coming back in very reverently, it doesn't bother a thing. As long as there's no spirit about it, it doesn't bother me at all. I can have somebody come in the service, and they might be restless. There might be a reason. It doesn't bother me. But now, if a spirit gets into it, I can tell it that quick, and it cuts across the Holy Spirit. Though they might try ever so hard to hide it, yet I can feel it, I can see it as it cuts across the Holy Spirit. And that bothers me, because it's just like you would take a rod and short-circuit these lights and just keep jabbing up and down, and the light would go on and off, on and off. And see, that's what the carnal mind does to the anointing of Christ. To be carnally minded is death. How do you know that to be carnally minded is death? That's why the world is going to die. It's because they are carnally minded. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you really believe that the world is carnally minded? Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, shall I reap of those that are carnal? So then they think about worldly things, that's being carnally minded. And the Bible said to be carnally minded is death, for the carnal mind is enmity to God. See, the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, neither in action or deed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But the Bible tells us that you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Then if we're born of the Spirit, then the Spirit of God is in us. And if we have not the Spirit of God, then the Bible tells us that we're none of His. All right, so then, I don't know how I got off on that subject, but it's good anyway, isn't it? It's good to know where we're at and who we are. I don't know of anything better than to know who we are. I want to read just a little bit to you. From over in the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Revelation with me. And if you will, be reverent tonight. If you don't have to leave, wait until I finish the message. See, the Bible teaches, it is not you that speaketh, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And see, when I begin to get under the anointing, that's not me anymore. That's God from within His temple. The Bible said God's in His temple and all the world keeps silent. And so then when the Holy Spirit begins to speak, don't be irreverent and go out. Because, see, I've known of cases where people walked out of the service when the Holy Spirit was speaking and went and got in the car and went right on, had a wreck, and was killed. I know of cases that happened in my own personal life where the Holy Spirit would be speaking and somebody would say something back to me and they'd put them in the grave in just a few weeks. See, it's a very touchy thing when God is speaking. See, Brother Pike doesn't amount to much. But now when you speak of God, that's the Heavenly Father. That's the one that created the earth, created the stars, created you and created me, made everything in all of the universe. See, and He demands reverence. He tells us in His Word, He said, take time to be holy. A lot of times we say, well, we got to work and we're busy. And the Lord will bear with us because He knows that we have to have a livelihood. But if we just kind of center our mind upon a livelihood and upon the things of the world, then we get God upset, and then God will say to us, I don't care about your job, and I don't care about you, and I don't care about nothing. I said take time to be holy. then he becomes a judge then. But as long as we work with God, he'll be just as sweet and gentle as a dove. See, God is altogether different from humanity. See, if you'll be sweet and nice to God and kind to God, then God, he'll just stretch out like a rubber band with you. And then when you raise up and be haughty and you say, I'm busy and I'm a dignitary and I don't have time, God said, I said, take time. Mr. President, take time. Mr. Governor, take time. Dr. Lawyer, Indian Chief, take time. See, so we just have to say, God gives more grace to the humble, and we just go ahead and be humble. Now, I deal with God like this. I just say, Lord, you do whatever you want to do. And old Brother Pike will just try to conform to it the best I know how. Because I've done learn, you know, that he's the big chief. Whatever he says is right. And I love the Lord with all of my heart and soul. And I like to refer to him on common terms to where we can understand his great power and authority, something that's not over our head. Now, there was a great apostle in the Bible by the name of Paul. And Paul, he was a persecutor of the church. Now, I'd like to say this just before I read. He was a great persecutor of the church because he was such an intellectual man. Paul was so tremendously intellectual, having learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He was well instructed in the laws of that day. He knew the law. And he was as a celebrity in that day in the sense that he was such an elegant person and so well learned. But one day God spoke to Paul, and Paul didn't give heed to it. So God caught him on the way to Damascus, going down to persecute the saints, and God got down to business. See, when God speaks to you one way, if you don't hear him, then he'll speak to you another way. And so then God got down to business. Paul was a chosen vessel, and Paul had paid no attention to the pleading of the Christians as God tried to speak to him. So God let a great light shine from heaven round about Paul and smote him down and put him down to his knees and said, "Listen to me, Paul." Then Paul began to realize how great God was and how little Paul was. And God began to speak to him. And that great, mighty Paul the Apostle, it wasn't long before God had taken him away in the Arabian desert and revelated to him the great mysteries of God. Gave him the revelation, and Paul said, "There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me because of my much revelation." Knowing such a one, he said, was caught up to the third heaven, saw things that was not lawful for man to speak. Those things were not lawful in Paul's time, because if Paul had have spoke those things, then the church would have been translated. And God wasn't ready for the translation of the church. Now, somebody would say, "Brother Pike, I don't believe that the church would have been translated if Paul had made those mysteries known, because I believe that God has to wait till a certain age. And according to the Bible, it has to be our age." But you see, God is not bound to anything. We've got a tract we wrote that's called Limiting the Unlimited. See, God is not bound to anything. He doesn't have to wait till this age. To prove that, way back just a little after Adam had fallen from his lofty estate, God picked up a man by the name of Enoch, translated him, and took him on. So that if God did it then, he could have done it in Paul's day and finished the job. Couldn't he have done it? But he held it back for you and for me, and I'm glad he did. It wasn't lawful in that day for him to speak those things, but in my day it's lawful, and I'm going to talk about some of them. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn over to the book of Revelation. You know, if you will, some of you turn right there to the first chapter of the book of Revelation and look at the first line or two in what John tells us. A lot of people wonder why that we have in our past life referred to the message as the revelation of Jesus Christ. But according to what I understand, there has never been but one message to the church, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we've known of it in part, and we've received it by measure. The Bible teaches we receive faith by measure. But if you wonder why that I refer to it as the revelation of Jesus Christ, turn to the 1 John and read it, and you'll find out right there in the very first part, at the very first chapter of the book of Revelation, it is. Chapter 1, it starts off the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? That's why we refer to it as the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. All right, so then what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? The revelation of Jesus Christ is the revealing of Christ to the church. The unveiling of the mysterious Christ. The unveiling of Jesus. The coming of Jesus. The revelation is the coming of Jesus. It's the unveiling. It's heaven unveiled. That's why John, when he wrote about it, he said, I saw the heavens open as a scroll. I looked up and I saw the heavens, and they were open as a scroll. And he refers to it as the revelation. And then Paul the Apostle, this great minister of God, when Paul speaks of it, he refers to it as the revelation. He said, and there was made known unto me the revelation. Then he turned to the church. He said, I magnify my office because I am the apostle to the Gentile church. And he said, if you think Peter was a great spokesman and Peter was a great healer, and if you think James and John and the others were, said, then take notice of me. He said, I'm not a whit behind the chiefest apostle. He said, I labored more abundantly than all of them. Somebody said he sure was a bragger. He was a boaster. But nevertheless, he said it, didn't he? He never asked anybody to call him an apostle. He said, I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He declared his office. Not only did he say that, but he said, I have the responsibility of the church and the oversight of the church. How do you know that the ministry has the oversight of the church? How do you understand that? See, the Bible said, taking the oversight over the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. See, now you can be an overseer with some denomination, and maybe the Holy Ghost didn't put you there. Now, maybe there are some overseers in denomination that God did put there, but there are some that I'm sure that God didn't put there because I've met some of them. But see, when the Holy Ghost makes an overseer, that's a different thing. See, when God gives the oversight to somebody, then he is an overseer to the church. Paul said that he was an overseer, and the responsibility of the church was upon him. And this is what he commanded the church to do. And I've tried my best to further this little statement that Paul made. He said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. If you do not have the spirit of revelation, then you need the spirit of revelation. Now, I've said this a number of times in the meeting. You might be a Christian. You might be a devout Christian. I trust that you are. But see, being a devout Christian, that still doesn't take care of being without the spirit of revelation. You need the spirit of revelation. Paul said, I went up and conferred with Peter. I visited with him. I did it by revelation. John said, I saw the cities of this world crumble to the ground. How did he see it? He saw it by divine revelation. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. Now listen to this. In the time past, divers manners and its sundry times, God spake unto us by the prophets, but hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, Christ Jesus. Who is the Son, Christ Jesus? It is the church. That is his body. Therefore, through the membership of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, Christ within you is testifying to the glories of God and the events yet to come. He hath in this day spoken unto us by his Son, Christ Jesus. And so then, we need the Spirit of revelation. John saw these great, wonderful things and was caught up into heaven. He saw a door that was open in heaven and was caught up into that door. Is that right? Into that door. He entered into heaven just as Paul did. Paul entered into heaven because he had the Spirit of revelation. John entered into heaven because he had the Spirit of revelation. Enoch entered into heaven because he had the Spirit of revelation. Elijah entered into heaven because he had the Spirit of revelation. Jesus entered into heaven, was transfigured before their very eyes because he had the Spirit of revelation. And folks, if we ever make what we refer to as the rapture, we must have the Spirit of revelation. All right. I want to read just a little bit in the book of Revelation. I might skip about here just a little bit. In chapter 4, I think I'll read from chapter 4 first in the book of Revelation. You love Jesus? Is it good to be a Christian? Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 4, reading at the first verse. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now turn to Revelation 12, and let's read just a little bit in Revelation 12. Revelation, the 12th chapter. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. What you notice tonight is that John, being exiled to Patmos, was given a revelation of Jesus Christ. about 30 miles, I guess you would say, off of the west coast of Asia Minor, a little place called Patmos, a little island. They were angry with John and upset with John, so they put him there. And they exiled him to this little island. And God, it looked as though he had forsaken John, but God had placed John there for a specific purpose. You know, we should really watch and pray. The Bible tells us to watch and to pray. For you never know the hour of your visitation. Jesus said one time concerning Jerusalem, said, if thou hadst known the hour of thy visitation, but said that you didn't know it, therefore your houses are left unto you desolate, until you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. John was about to have a visitation from God, but it seemed like it was just exactly the reverse, because he was exiled, put away from the disciples, put over into a place, left there by himself to make it the best he could. No provision for food, no provision for clothing, no provision for heat, comforts of life. It seemed that God had altogether forsaken him. But Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. And so then being exiled, John was about to receive a visitation from God, such as none of the disciples had received. John the Beloved, about to receive something from God that was to shake the entire universe. And so then while John was exiled, God came to visit with him. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's what we need to do, is to get in the Spirit. Did you know that we're not in the Lord's day until we get in the Spirit? For the Lord's day is when you get in the Spirit. Adam was back there in the Lord's day when the Spirit of God rested upon him, when the Shekinah glory overshadowed the garden. That was the Lord's day. When we're in the Spirit, then we're in the Lord's day. Therefore, there remaineth a day of rest for God's people. John said, I entered into the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he said, when I looked, he said, I saw something. I looked away to the heavens, and he said, I saw a door open. All of a sudden, I saw a door open in heaven. That was, John said, in the heavens, I saw the door open. The door swung open in heaven. John said, I looked, and behold, a door open in heaven. Did you know that tonight there is a door that's open in heaven? Did you know that before Calvary there was never a door open in heaven? But when the Son of God hung at Calvary, the veil was rent in twain, and the door was open into heaven. And the Bible said from that time on we could enter into the veil and go into the holies of holies, because Jesus said, I am the door. Hallelujah. A door was open in heaven. And there John saw this great door. And then a voice cried out to John and said, John, come up hither. I want to show you some things. So up John went in the Spirit, like Ezekiel when the Spirit of God picked Ezekiel up, transported him over to the other place, put him down in the valley of dry bones and said, can these bones live again? He said, Lord, thou knowest. He said, prophesy to them. If you prophesy to them, said, they'll live again. The breath of life came into him just because he was in the Spirit and God was able to transport him to the needed area. So then John was in the Spirit. John was transported to heaven, went into a place like few people have ever experienced. And there John saw things that no other man has ever seen. John began to communicate with God, began to talk with the Spirit, and God began to unveil great things, and John began to see this great revelation. Something began to take place. Now, this is the thing that we want to understand. There is a door that is open tonight because Jesus opened it. When Jesus came, he was about to rend the veil, and he said to Peter, said, I got a key, Peter. I'm going to give you a key. And said, I want you to go open the door. I want you to open the door. Now, why did Christ Jesus give Peter the key so that he could open the door? The reason was because Jesus was fixing to go down into hell and make the way for it, and then Jesus was going back to the right hand of the Father so that the door could be opened. And there had to be somebody in the earth that would open the door. I like that, don't you? God always uses somebody. God always uses somebody. Tonight, God wants to use somebody. That somebody could be you tonight, but God's going to use somebody. That somebody could be a man, that somebody could be a woman. That somebody could be a child, that somebody could be an elderly gentleman or an elderly person. In the Bible, he used them at 8 years old. He used them at 12 years old. He used Moses at 80 years old. Isn't that right? He used Elizabeth. He used Mary. He always had somebody that he could use. He used Elijah, the great prophet. He used Elisha, Ezekiel, the great men of God in that day. He used them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. One of the writers said, I was not a prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And the Spirit of the Lord said, go prophesy. He wasn't a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but God said, prophesy. Brother, when God said prophesy, it doesn't make any difference whether you're a prophet or the son of a prophet. If God said prophesy. You speak to the people in the name of Jesus. When Jesus came to that tree over there, Jesus said, give me some fruit. The tree couldn't produce it. He said, do away with it. I won't have it. So then when God said, do something, you do something. When God tells me to do something, I strain every muscle in my body trying. If I can't do it, I'll tell you one thing. When I get through, I strained every muscle I got trying to do it. You say, but what if it's out of season, Brother Pike? He said, be instant in season, out of season. If it's out of season, still be instant and produce what God demands. You know, a lot of people, they can't fast because they feel like it's out of season. They say, I've got to work on a job. I can't fast. I've got so many things to do. I'm so burdened. I'm nervous. I got a heart condition. That's out of season. That's out of season. But brother, if God tells you to fast, it's time to start fasting. Now I know some of us walk so far from God we couldn't hear Him if He said anything. Isn't that right? But the Bible said, my sheep know my voice. Hallelujah. So then God speaks to His people and God demands results. And if you can't produce the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit, then God will cut you down. But if we produce, He will purge us and we'll grow to be a bigger tree. A tree of life in the earth, producing the fruits of life, that man might enjoy the greatness of God. Hallelujah. A door. Do you know what it means when I say a door is open in heaven? What is heaven? You know, there's one thing that's better than heaven if you want to look at heaven as a natural creation. And that's the God that made it. But what is heaven? Heaven is the Spirit. There is no heaven but the Spirit. God is the only heaven there is. When you enter into the Spirit, you are in heaven. John entered into the Spirit and immediately the door was open and he found himself in heaven. That's where the church is missing the goodness of God tonight. Folks, if we could be spiritual, Paul said, I would speak unto you as unto spirituals. If we would be spiritual tonight, if we would enter into the Spirit. When Peter spoke to him, the Holy Ghost fell on them and they entered into the Spirit. And the Bible said in the early church, they would get together and fast and pray until the Spirit of God would literally shake the building. And they were filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost. And what we need to do tonight is to be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit of God. Have the drive in us that we need for Christ. Hallelujah, to rise up and be about our Father's business. Now, John saw this great thing. God had him exiled. He had time to get spiritual. Didn't have any dinners, didn't have any picnics, didn't have any parties, didn't have any miserable comforters, didn't have anybody to joke with. Isn't that right? The world's in a funny mood, isn't that right? The world's in a joking mood. But I noticed it just recently when Bing Crosby died out in Hollywood. Just dropped out. I noticed Bob Hope canceled out all of his show dates and said, I'm not funny. When death comes around, the world isn't so funny. They got a lot of jokes, a lot of foolishness. But when the powers of death begin to knock on the door, they lose their foolishness and they become very grave. Isn't that right? John was over there where there couldn't be any foolishness. Nobody was around to joke. Nobody was around to tell little tales. And John just got right there by himself. And his heart got pure and his mind got pure. You know, God from time to time will take a prophet and put him out in the woods, put him out of the mountains, get him away from everybody so that he can purify and clean him up, get his mind holy. You know, the Bible tells us to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, that God may put within our hearts and in our minds the Spirit of Christ. God wants the Spirit of Christ within us. You know, the thing that pleases God is the Spirit of Christ. We don't need to try to do our own thing. We don't need to try to be religious. We don't need to try to perform something in a way of pleasing God. We need the Spirit of Christ. That's all God's going to notice is the Spirit of Christ. See, Jesus, while Jesus walked this earth, he was so pleasing to God. A voice from heaven spoke. And this voice said, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In the original rendering in the Greek, it says, my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell. Pleased to dwell. I am pleased with him. God is pleased with the life of Jesus. He's pleased with the way he lived, the way he walked, the way he talked. The things he did, he was pleased with him. And he so pleased God that he become the chief of the creation of God. And he so pleased God that God decided he wanted everything in heaven and earth to look like him. Everything in heaven and earth to act like him. Everything in heaven and earth to talk like him. And he decided that what he would do would take the spirit of that same Christ and put him in the heart of Brother Pye and put him in the heart of Brother Taylor and put him in your heart, my heart, and their heart, that we might have the attitude that Christ had toward God. He so pleased God. He so pleased God that God wants his spirit to be in every human body. And he wants us to conform to the full stature and the full measure of that stature as Christ Jesus is in his sight. Hallelujah. So then John got in the spirit. And all of a sudden he turned around and he saw the Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. He saw the Ancient of Days standing there whose hair was as white as the wool. Did you know when your hair begins to get white, you're beginning to get ripe? You're beginning to get ripe, isn't that right? When your hair begins to get white, you're beginning to get like your Maker, coming into the fullness of the image of your Maker. The Bible said John looked in there, stood, his hair was as white as the wool. Hallelujah. In his right hand he had those seven stars. He stood in the midst of the candlesticks, and his eyes was like a flame of fire, and his mouth, his tongue like a two-edged sword, his feet like fine brass that burned in the furnace and girded about with the truth. Hallelujah. Had a golden girdle about the paps up here, standing and waiting and telling John to look and behold and stand and wait for the promises of God that was soon to come to pass. So then a door was open in heaven. John saw strange things. I wished I could dwell upon each one of them tonight. I wished I had time tonight to deal with each one of them. But we just want to pass over a few things here and try to establish a thought if we possibly can. See, John turned and looked, and all of a sudden here he saw Revelation 12. He said, I saw a woman. He said, and this woman was standing upon the moon. I saw a woman, and this woman was standing upon a moon. The moon. What a sight to see. Here is a woman standing upon the moon.
In that day, somebody would have said, John, you've gone crazy. You've lost your mind. Nobody's ever gone to the moon. But today it could be a little different, couldn't it? He said, I saw a woman, said she was standing on the moon. I saw a woman standing on the moon. If a person would talk like that just a few years ago, somebody would have said they were crazy. But John said, I saw that woman. She was standing on the moon. A woman, mind you, standing on the moon. Said, I saw upon her head a crown of 12 stars. I saw 12 stars upon that woman's head. Said she was clothed with the sun. See, when John looked at this great image, the Bible said it was like the sun shine within his strength. You know, that's the way the Holy Ghost is. You get full of the Holy Ghost and it becomes like the sun shining within your strength. When Moses come down off of the mountain, he was all aglow with the strength of God. The Holy Ghost had lit him up and the people couldn't even look at him because the sun of God was shining within his strength. John said, I saw this woman standing upon the moon. And there she was. And said she was in great travail. She was ready to be delivered. In great travail. And he said, and I beheld and said, there was a great red dragon. And said, this dragon was laying there waiting for that woman to deliver that child that he might devour that child. Just as quick as it was born. But the quickness of God, when she travailed, the child came forth, and the Holy Spirit swept down. Up he went to the throne, and the dragon couldn't get to him. You know, the devil can get into the second heaven, but he can't get into the third heaven. Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. That's the heaven we need to be in tonight, is the third heaven. The devil's in the second heaven, but we can get into the third heaven. If we'll prepare our hearts tonight, the Spirit will catch us up, and the devil can't get to us anymore. Hallelujah. That was the first heaven. And that first heaven was back there with Israel. You know, the Spirit of God is heaven. Wherever God is, that's heaven. That outer court of that tabernacle, it represented that heaven. And the law was heaven. The law was heaven. It was a people that was taken out of a people. And God Himself stood in the midst of that people. No other people had God. No other people had heaven. It was Israel. They stood in that first heaven. They stood there in that first heaven. And they walked with God. And God walked with them. And it was a law. It was an ordinance. In that first heaven, they walked with God. But there was still a distance. Then after a while, God sent His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down and He spilt His blood. Why did He spill His blood? So that there could be another heaven. There was another heaven when Jesus resurrected from the dead. There was another heaven delivered for our offenses, spilt His blood for our offenses, raised again from the dirt to prove that we were justified in the sight of God and that death couldn't hold us anymore. Hallelujah. So then, there was a second heaven. Grace was poured out upon the world. That's how the devil got in. That's how the devil got into the thing to begin with. When Jesus spilt His blood, the rain come down on the just and on the unjust. God, because of men's ignorance, had to give a day of grace, had to give a time for man to prepare his heart, had to work with man, let him have some grace. And so then God prepared a heaven. He prepared a second heaven. And that heaven is the day of grace. A lot of people tonight will say, I don't believe I'm in heaven. I'll tell you what, if you don't believe you're in heaven, wait till you get in hell, and then you'll know you've been in heaven. If I can't convince you tonight, wait till the flames get a hold of you, and you'll say, my God, I was in heaven. You just didn't know it. See, that's the same thing that happened to Adam and Eve. That's why God let Adam and Eve fall. They didn't recognize they were in heaven. He let them fall. When they tasted the other side of life, then they knew that they were in heaven. And brother, they wanted to get back there. And humanity has wanted to get back there ever since. But did you know when the blood was spilled at Calvary, there was a second heaven. The rain came down on the just and on the unjust. And that's how that the devil got up into heaven. The Bible said he was in heaven, and when that woman got ready to be delivered, the devil was right there in heaven too. Where was that woman at? She was in the second heaven. Come on now.
How are you gonna prove that, Brother Pye? This earth is that first heaven. That's that first one. But see, that moon represents the second heaven. Is that right? The light's bright here, but it's a little brighter on the moon. It's a little closer of the sunlight. But brother, if you'll walk right into the midst of that great light, that's the third heaven. The Bible said he's the great light into which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. And Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light hath immortality. No man has seen God at any time nor can see him. You love Jesus? So then the second heaven, the woman with the foot on the moon, John saw it. See, he was caught up, a door was open. He saw this, and there the woman was, standing on the moon. There was the red dragon, ready to devour the child. Just as quick as it was born, the devil was about to get it. You know, God, he never fails to give a type of everything in the Spirit. Did you notice? It's just been in the last few years that the woman nation called America emphasized the footprints on the moon. She published the footprints, the deepened footprints of them that set their foot upon the moon. Old Brother John said, I saw that woman. Did you know that humanity is a woman to God? Did you know that a man in this world that's a man to a woman is a woman to God? He saw that woman on the moon. He saw her. And I saw her with her feet on the moon. So when they published the stamps, when they published the article, Beloved America, the woman nation, there she stood in heaven in hard travail. Why is she in travail? She is travailing to bring forth the leader. She's travailing to bring forth the great chief leader of all the earth. She's in hard travail. There's all kind of mix-up, all kind of killings, all kind of things is taking place. She's in hard travail. She's in bloodshed right at this very moment all over the world, or the earth, here in the land of America. She's in bloodshed right now. And the child is trying to break forth the great leader that's to become the prince of the earth. You know, God is real. How many believe God's real? God will vindicate the right cause. Did you know that? I heard something today that proves that. The police in Monroe was giving us a little problem down there. Got a lot of young boys that come in and out the campground, and they kept pouncing on them, charging them, fine every little thing, charging them. Break in just a minute to tell you this. I prayed. I told some of our followers, I said, I prayed to God, and I prayed to God, and I prayed to God. And I said, God, shake up that police force down there. I said, don't let them rest till you shake them up, God. I said, because they're causing us problem. They're riding the back of our young fellows and letting the others go that don't belong to the church and letting them do anything and praying off the church. Fine after fine. Because the daddies was trying to support the gospel, they'd pull them into jail. You know, the world loves its own. Isn't that right? That's why they throw Peter in jail. That's why they put Paul in jail. Everything that's decent and upright, they want to close it down. But let them have a shindig of their own out there somewhere. Let them have a great football game. And you go out there and tell them it's too much noise and see if they pay any attention to you. The world loves its own. Why? Because it is of the world. The lust of the flesh. Sex and perversion. Evil. Have you noticed lately that those people are becoming churchy? They're becoming charismatic? They're trying to slip in. The foolish virgins are trying to get in. They're trying to get the oil. They don't want to live right. They don't want to dress holy. They don't want to talk holy. They don't want to be holy. You love Jesus? How do you know when you preach the gospel, you lose some of your congregation? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, how do you do that? Because the Bible said God will divide the sheep from the goat, and the gospel will divide the sheep from the goat. That's what it's for. All right. So then, just recently, there was a killing. The police got after a young fellow, and I believe he shot three of them. They finally killed him, but he killed one of the policemen and maybe wounded a couple more. Shook them up. I hate that somebody's life was lost. I hate that. But God won't play with you. God won't play with you. God's real. I got on my knees. I said, shake them up, God. I said, do something to that police force. I said, I need a deliverance, Father, for my people here. And God did it. God did it. You love Jesus? God did it. The world needs a shaking. That's about what's going to happen. This woman was on the moon. There she was. On the moon. Her foot upon the moon. America. The woman. Upon the moon. What was she doing? In great travail. They've killed her presidents. They've shot her presidents in America. They had people so afraid that very few people even wanted to be president when Jimmy Carter went to office. That's one reason he got in so easy. Because very few people wanted to be. They were already learning that they were a target for people. And they were being killed out. They didn't want to go in that office too much. Hard travail. Waiting to be delivered. A child caught up to the throne. To rule the world with a rod of iron. Is that right? But there lay right beside her a great red dragon. The dragon was laying in there too. I said the other night, can't you see right here in the United States, they're flying the communist flag. It's right over there with the woman. The communist flag is there. You understand what I'm saying? That red dragon of communism, it leaves the blood trail everywhere it goes. Communist China, the dragon nation. There's communists shooting at the moon, laying in there just like the woman is. What are they waiting for? When the leader comes forth in America, they want to kill that leader. They want to do away with that leader. See the woman with the feet on the moon, the dragon laying in there. Something about to take place in hard travail. But the Bible said when the child was born, it was caught up to the throne. Is that right? You say, Brother Pike, what's that got to do with Jimmy Carter? Jimmy Carter's coming right on up, just like the child was caught up to the throne. They even had a little writing about him, put him on a diaper and put a pin in his side here showing him caught up to the throne. They put his name down as J.C. and drawed him a beard and made him the Savior of the world. Isn't that right? Caught him up to the throne, caught him up to the riches, up to the powers of authority. And not only that, but to show the thing really up to the throne, I made the statement that he would turn toward the papacy of Rome, which is considered the throne of the earth, and that he would be favored by the papacy, and they would favor one another, and that he would be a Catholic president, regardless to what the Baptists had to say. John said, I saw a strange thing hundreds of years ago. He said, folks, I saw a woman on the moon. And said, I saw a dragon laying there, and I saw this woman in great travail, and I saw a child come forth. Now listen, there has to be a natural type for every spiritual thing. Isn't that right? How do you know that the church is the woman tonight? How do you know that Revelation 12 speaks of that great woman? I know that naturally speaking, the Jew is standing there. There's the Jew standing on the moon. There's the Jew speaking spiritually now. There's the Jew ready to bring forth the Christ, which is the man-child of the third heaven to rule the world. But the church tonight is the invisible part of Christ's body. Christ is in the church tonight. Christ is within you tonight. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory tonight. And Christ is in us tonight. So then, the woman with her feet on the moon, about to bring forth the man-child. See, there's a second heaven, and Lucifer is in that second heaven. How did Lucifer get into that second heaven? He got in through grace. You follow me? See, when grace come, that rain came on the just and on the unjust. As long as there is grace, that means the rain can come on the people that are unjust. You follow me? The people that are unjust, the rain is still coming down upon them. If the rain comes down upon them, then that means the devil can live inside of them and enjoy that reign.
One is a grace unto salvation. The Bible speaks of the grace unto salvation. And then the other is the dispensational grace. There's grace, that a dispensational grace that God gives from Calvary over the just and the unjust, so that He can woo them to repentance, and so that they can have time to repent and have a space of grace to keep Him from having to open up the earth as He did in the days of the law and swallow them up. See, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Right now, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, He'd swallow us up. See, there's none good in His sight. No, not one. All of them's gone astray. God has laid upon Jesus Christ the chastisement of every one of us. It's by faith in Christ that we survive. So then it is the grace of God. You say, but Brother Pike, I believe that God is different in this day. Then the Scriptures is broken. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. So then it isn't that God has changed. It's just that God has made allowance by the blood. You understand what I'm saying? You say, I don't believe that. Well, tell me this then. Why is it in the book of Revelation? The Bible said that angel went and got that sanctuary, filled it with fire from the golden altar, and threw it down to the earth just as quick as that blood atonement come off the mercy seat. Threw it down into the earth, and the Bible said there was lightnings and thunderings and earthquakes. See? Why? When the days of grace is over, He starts opening the earth up again like He did in the days of Moses, destroying the people because they don't have any protection. Then what is the days of grace for? It's to give us time to get right, folks. It's time for us to repent of our sins and clean our hearts up and get right with God. That's what grace is for. See, dispensational grace will run out. When dispensational grace is over after the church ages, everybody's destroyed except one people. What kind of people is that? The Bible speaks of the grace of God unto salvation that's appeared unto all men. I'm talking about salvation grace now. Just to the church hath appeared unto all men, teaching them to deny worldly lusts, to live soberly and righteously in this present world, that we should perfect holiness unto God in the fear of the Lord. I'm talking about salvation grace now. The grace of God that brings salvation. That's what I want, is salvation, don't you? I'm not looking for a dispensational grace. In the dispensational grace, the devil can dance and shout, speak in tongues, and do anything he wants to. Come on now. Amen. I know, I done been there when it's happened. I've seen the ladies catch their dress like that and go to doing the jitterbug. Amen. Right under the tents. And I've seen the preacher so carried away with it, he looks back and he goes to doing jitterbug too. But I'm talking about Christ, the glory of God that's in the church. Real holiness. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe in shouting? I don't care if you dance and holler and run like a wild Indian. I don't. I don't. You say, is that Bible? Well, on one occasion, the Spirit of God came on old Elijah, and he outrun the chariots of Jezebel. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, He's liable to come on you, and you're liable to outrun the chariots of Jezebel today. Amen. So whatever it is, that's all right with me. But I just want you to worship God and love God. That's all. The Bible said, praise Him in the dance. That's fine to praise Him in the dance. But we don't need nobody doing the jitterbug. Of course, that's out of date now anyway, I guess. Now, rock and roll, that's what it is. Don't want nobody doing the rock and roll. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Will you give me just a few minutes to talk with you? I won't keep you long. I promise I won't. Now, look at it. Folks, we are at the end of the world. The woman with her foot on the moon shows that the devil is about to be cast out of heaven. Now, don't run away when I say this. Listen. When Elvis Presley died, when God killed him, it was a type of Lucifer being cast out. He corrupted the whole earth. Took the virtues away from the people. I'm not making a wild statement. I happen to know for a fact, because I live in the Spirit, and I knew his life, and I knew what it was predestined for. And I know the very time it happened and what it had to do with.
as we come through Memphis the few nights before. See, when the woman was on the moon, the child came forth. When the child came forth, out with Lucifer. You know, the Bible speaks of the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men at any time, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed it or made it a revelation unto us by Spirit. Look at a few foolish things and let's see if that's right. Where did he live? In a place called Whitehaven. Are you listening? Where did I have the track produced? On the faith. In the same place called Whitehaven. Now how did that happen? How did that happen? It happened the same way that it happened when the track on the faith was being translated in China, when our president was over visiting, and when the great Mao Zedong went out. The dragon went out when the faith went up. You follow me? Where did he leave? He left Whitehaven. He was cast out. He don't live there anymore. Where did he come from? He went out of Grace Mansion. Because the devil don't live there anymore. What did he do? He wiggled like a snake. Wiggled and worked on people's sex passions. That's what made him great. Music and sex. People have gone crazy. Listen to what Phil Harris had to say. When Bing Crosby died, Phil Harris made the statement. Said God made his first mistake when he took Bing. Only a fool would talk like that. Somebody say amen. If you're on the Lord's side tonight, say amen. Hallelujah. See, I made the statement not too long ago. I said, with Elvis, out will go some dignitaries. I said, they'll die, and out will go some of the great movie stars. Groucho Marx went out. Bing Crosby went out. Some of the others has gone out, and some more of them's about to go out. And Bob Hope told him that he wasn't funny anymore. Tore him up. He lost his spirit of being a comedian. You know why Bob did that? Because Bob's considered to be the richest man or one of the greatest, richest men in Hollywood. And he knows that him and Bing has walked side by side in making their movies. And he knows that Bing's gone to meet his maker, then he's about to go meet his maker. And he's getting serious about it. God ain't going to listen to none of Bob Hope's funny jokes. Brother, when he stands there, he'll be grave. There won't be nothing to joke about. When death comes around, all the laugh and the giggle is taken out of it. How many know what I'm saying? Now, we're at the end of the world. Let me elaborate just a few minutes on something. I'll try to hurry along here. See, death is at an end. Death. Think about that. At last, long last, death is at an end. God is about to conquer death and put it to silence. See, death is not the friend of God. The Bible said death is the enemy of God. God doesn't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He had a rather Elvis Presley to repent and went to heaven. Death is about to be conquered. What happens when death is conquered? The redemption of the body comes in. Now listen real close. A lot of times we fail to recognize the truth. We hear it. But the Bible said, take heed how that you hear. Try to understand it. Give the more earnest heed to the things that you hear, lest you let them slip. See, the Bible tells us that we are waiting to wit the redemption of our body. And so the preacher will get up and the preacher will say, we are waiting for the redemption of our body. But the Bible doesn't say we're waiting for the redemption of our body. God said, waiting to wit the redemption of our body. Why should I wait for the redemption of my body when Jesus Christ died at Calvary and He said it's finished and He redeemed my spirit, redeemed my soul, and redeemed my body? And Paul got the revelation and Paul said, we're waiting to wit the redemption. What's the difference, Brother Pike? We use the terms in a simplicity sort of a way, you know, to make people understand, like he's a witty old gent. I'm at my wit's end. To wit that Christ was in
Jesus, the body, or God was in that human body, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to Himself. Now, when you say to wit that God was in Christ, does that mean that we are waiting for God to be in Christ? No. It means we come to the understanding that God was in Christ. So to wit the redemption of my body, what am I doing? I must come to the knowledge that Christ redeemed my body. My body's already been redeemed. The song is, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. We're the redeemed tonight. To wit the redemption of my body. How can I wit the redemption of my body? The Bible teaches that at the beginning we are translated into the marvelous kingdom of our God. In our spirit, in our inner man. When the babe on the inside is born, where does it go? Up to the throne of God in our heart. To keep the devil in this old body from getting a hold of it. For Paul said, within my body there dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I can't find it. Are you listening? But we are not in the flesh. We are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. I'm not flesh. The Bible said, that which is born to flesh is flesh. That which is born to spirit is spirit. Have you been born to the Spirit tonight? I've been born to the Spirit. What am I doing to wit the redemption of my body? What is he talking about? He said, though ye be a son, John said, beloved, you're already the sons of God. You don't have to wait till day after tomorrow to become a son of God. He said, you're already a son of God. You're already daughters of the Lord tonight, handmaidens of God. You don't have to wait. When Jesus died at Calvary, he completed it. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I'm waiting for the preachers to make me ready. But let me tell you something, Brother Pike tonight or any other minister can't do any more than Jesus has already done. I can't add anything to it. I can't take anything away from it. He said in the book of Revelation, if you add one thing, I'll add the plagues of this book to you. If you take one thing away from it, I'll take your part out of the book of life. I can't do anything. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that's what the preacher's for. He's to preach. Tell me all my wrongs and cause me to put them away. I know that we enumerate the wrongs. And I know we try to tell you about those things. But brothers and sisters, the ministry is for one purpose in your life. That is for the perfecting of your faith. The Bible says, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. He is there to perfect your faith. It takes the blood of Jesus to make you clean. The blood made you without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Then what is the preacher for? To preach to you your benefits. From glory to glory, from light to light. And the more I tell you about Him, the more you believe in Him, the more you understand Him, the more you know you're complete in Him, the more you accept the fact that you are perfect, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, perfecting your faith. Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. The perfect faith. How was Enoch translated? By faith. God imputed faith unto Abraham for righteousness. And we're called the children of faithful Abraham. So then what I'm doing, I'm preaching faith to you tonight. I'm preaching Christ's benefits to you tonight. I'm telling you what Christ did for you tonight. And every time I tell you a little bit of it, you believe it. That's what Paul meant. He said we're already sons of God. But we differ nothing from a servant. Until we come to the fullness of our sonship, which the old Jewish tradition called the bar mitzvah. About 13 years old, they took them out, and they had what they called the bar mitzvah. They'd been a son all the time. But see, they take them out in front of the public, and they say, servants, this is my son. See, he was not in authority. He was not in power. He couldn't handle the situation. He differed nothing from the servants because he was under tutors. He had not yet wit his authority. He had not yet wit his sonship. He was already a son,
But see, we're in the days of the wedding. And the preacher's preaching to you to wit the redemption. The preacher's telling you about your sonship, about your power, your authority. God wants you to wit the redemption of your body tonight. Let death be swallowed up in victory.
Did you know? My dad's laying in the grave tonight. Perhaps your dad or mother or some of your loved ones, your little baby, laying in the grave. But listen, somebody must conquer death. I wish to have time to preach your sermon tonight. I'll tell you what, I'm telling you the truth. I've said a few things from night to night, but I wish I had time to preach one sermon this meeting. Listen, your little ones might be laying out there, your loved ones. Folks, how are they going to get up out of the ground? How are they going to do it? How? Now listen, somebody say, Brother Pike, when Jesus come back, he'll bring them out of the ground. That's good, but that ain't the way Scripture reads. Oh, that's fine, but that ain't what the book says. He said, he that God sendeth will preach the word. What does the word say? The word said death came by man, so the resurrection must come by man. So then the man must do something. Somebody said it did come by man. It come by the man Christ Jesus. Well, he's still around. I said he's resurrected from the dead. Jesus is still here. Hallelujah! He's not dead. He's resurrected from the dead to die no more. And John said it was like the sun shined within his strength. What is it? I said at the end of the church ages, the prophet said the light shall be sevenfold. Boy, I can feel it heating up now, can't you? Getting too hot for the devil. Amen. That light's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Brighter. Why is the brightness of his coming to destroy the image of perdition? That is, you're made in the image of sin. You're born in the image of sin. But when the brightness of Christ comes, that old image begins to fade away into nothing. And the Bible said concerning Thessalonians, we don't know what he looks like, but when he appears, we know that we shall be like him. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I'm made in his image. All right, let's say this again. We've said it before. You mean he's fat, he's short, he's long, he's tall, he's got a short nose, a pug nose? Come on now. He's black, he's white, he's red, he's yellow. Which one? Come on. Come on now. We're made in his image. You know better than that. No, sir. If we're made in his image, why come you don't know what he looks like? The Bible said you don't know what he looks like. Come on now. You love Jesus? Ain't nobody never seen him. Oh, and if somebody said, wait a minute. When he walked this earth, Peter, James, and John saw him, Brother Pike. He stood in the presence of Peter, James, and John, and he said, you've never seen his image at any time. Why was that? You say that was God's image. He was God manifested in the flesh. I believe that. But the Bible said he was made in the image of sin. He was made like unto his brethren. He wasn't made in the image of God. But brother, when you see him coming back, you'll see him as he is. Hallelujah. When he resurrected from the dead and he walked on the way to Emmaus, the Bible said he appeared to him in another form. He could be here tonight in another form. Amen. Be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares. And I made the statement last night, some done better than that. They've entertained sons of God unawares. All right. So then it's at an end. Let me get a quick rundown here. I'm going to have to compact things, you know, like jelly beans to get them in. But I want you to listen just a minute. Where did death get its start? And I wish I had time to go into this subject. Maybe we'll make it a little more clear tomorrow night. Where did death get its start? See, when Adam was in the garden, there wasn't any death. As long as he abode within the presence of the Shekinah, there was no death. I made the statement the other night, he didn't have eternal life, but he was in the presence of eternal life. As long as he was in that light, there was no darkness. But the minute that he was led astray, then the shadow of death came. Knowledge. To be carnally minded is death. Because the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God. The carnal mind cannot produce faith. And the just shall live by faith. Faith is the lifeline of the just. Faith translated in it. Faith heals your body. Faith takes away your sins. By faith the world was formed. You understand? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. But see, when the shadow came over. Now look at it real close. The shadow came over. When it came over the mind of Adam, what happened? From then on, there was a revelation. What was the revelation? Paul said, folks, I looked through a glass darkly. Isn't that right? From the time that shadow fell over that great mind of Adam that had seen that light, old Adam had to look up and say, God, I one time walked in your presence, but Lord, I look through a glass darkly now. That's why in the Old Testament they had to put the veil over the bride. That's why she had to wear a veil. When Eliezer left the side of Abraham to go get that woman for Isaac, she come back, she had that veil over her face. She put that veil over her face. Why? Because the woman is in shamefaced. The Bible said, let her be shamefaced. That glass darkly is the veil God put over her face until the day of her perfection, until the day of her marriage, and then the veil shall be taken away. Paul said the veil which was over Moses is over the heart of people even unto this day. That veil untaken away even unto this day. They don't know the revelation, they just know the word within its veil. But he said that veil is done away with in the revelation of Christ in the word. Hallelujah. So much to be said in such a little time said here. You follow me? Look at the beautiful picture. Watering the camels. 10 camels. The 10 commandments. Going across that hot, blistering desert between heaven and earth. Got across it. The dry places where the demons are wandering. And Eliezer, the Holy Ghost, leading them 10 commandments. Hallelujah. All we got to do is just keep the commandments. That's all. The Bible said, and his commandments are not grievous. Just water them because that's what's going to take you across. Right over to the other side till she got into the tent. When she got into the tent, the veil was moved. The veil was moved. Oh, that calls for a sermon tonight. The veil was moved. The veil was moved. You understand what I'm saying? When Brother Branham sprang up with a great meeting not so long ago, when the revival came at Azusa Street, 1901, it went into the veil of our day. And it moved into a voice of healing and sprang out through Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne and great men like David Terrell and others. And it remained within a veil. Somebody would say, what kind of veil was it? The Trinitarian veil. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Since when is God a Trinity? The Bible don't say nothing about a three and a Trinity. Says one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Somebody say amen or oh me. But what happened? God has brought it to a different place. It's coming out of the veil. You can holler three gods, and I got a letter the other day. Some fellow said, I want you to know there's two gods. Not three, not one, but two. I don't know how many he's got. Brother Al Gonzalez in Mexico told me of a fellow that had a whole slew of them. But the only one I know is Jesus. He's the only God I got. Amen. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pine. Don't you know when God and all of them got together and made the heavens? I don't know nothing about it. I know where the Bible said Jesus stood there and said, I alone stretched out the heavens. Said there was no one there to help me when I made them. And I've had them to say, well, it's a Trinity, they're co-equal. But I read in the Bible where he said, there is no one my equal, I know not of any. So that killed somebody's text. The Bible said, preach the word, let's stay with the word. That's what the word said. All right, so it's coming out of the veil. God, let that be that way. What about those people? Don't they love God? Sure they love God. But it's that woman in the veil. It's that child that's never come forth from the veil of the wound. But she's breaking forth, hallelujah. The travail is on. The veil has been ripped. And Christ is coming forth. Out of that great Trinitarian move, what's coming? A one God people. Glory to God. I'm glad I ain't got but one God. I tell you, it takes enough to serve that one God. If I had three, I don't know what I'd do. It's just by the Holy Spirit I can serve that one. Amen. Isn't that right? I remember running a revival one time over in Detroit, Michigan. And I was there at a Church of God. And this is a great man. Had a great place there. And we preached for him. And I preached the Word of God. He said, Brother Pike, I'm so glad God sent you to Michigan. I said, why? The Lord would give us some healing, some great things to take place. He said, man, said, I've always had a problem trying to figure out which one to pray to. Think about that. A minister with a great work. All you got to do is call on the Holy Spirit through the name Jesus. There's but one Father. He's a Spirit. John 4:24 said God is a Spirit. There's but one body. That's the body of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You love Jesus? Get some oneness people, you know. They'll say, Jesus was God. But there arises a question. What is the question? John 4:24 said, God is a Spirit. The Son of God came up out of the grave and said, fill of me, I've got flesh and bones. The Spirit don't have that. Where do we go from there? A lot to be considered. But there is an answer. There's a godly way of doing it. Hallelujah. So then we're resurrected tonight. What are we trying to do? Come out of the veil. Be caught up into the third heaven. That Trinitarian woman is standing out there in the second heaven. But the devil is out there with her. Amen. Petting parties and pedal pushers and booze and lipstick and powder and paint. Elvis Presley's and rock and rolls. Everything. Lucifer's out there. But brother, in the third heaven, there ain't no Lucifer up there. Glory to God. When John saw the heavens just melt away, the Bible said the heavens passed away. That wasn't the third heaven. That was the one that Satan defiled. That's the heavens above your head. It passed away, and there was a new heaven. What kind of heaven? The third heaven. Because a child was caught up into the third heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Say, I love Jesus. Glory to God. I'm just running just here and there and everywhere and wished I could preach a sermon. But it would take so long. That's the truth, so help me God. Just picking up a little bit here and there, you know. Just the plum out of the pudding. That's all. But I tell you in the name of the Lord that we are under tutors until the time appointed to the Father, which is the bar mitzvah. But brothers and sisters, the bar mitzvah is at hand. It's time we declared our sonship. It's time we stood up for God. And the Bible said Satan will wear out the saints of God, but they will rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. What's happened to it? The seminaries took it away from the people. The Bible said the wicked took it by force. Isn't that right? But after a while, we're going to take the kingdom. You say, how are we going to take the kingdom? We're going to realize that we're the only one that's got it. Come on now, by faith. After a while, they're going to wake up and they're going to say, my goodness, that bunch of holy rollers had it all the time. And God just let the mud be on the water to hide the virtue, to keep us smart guys from getting a monopoly on it so we could peddle it. Going to say they had it all the time. See, they're going to rise and take the kingdom. We are going to suddenly realize we are sons of God, that we've got the kingdom. We don't have to get the kingdom. We've got the kingdom. The Bible said the kingdom of God is within you, not within a seminary, but it's in you. They will rise up and take the kingdom, and they will possess it forever and ever. And not only that, but I read to you tonight A voice will scream out from heaven and say, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and forever and forever. Now has come power. Now has come salvation. Now has come strength. For the accuser of the brethren has been cast down, that accused them night and day before God. What do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that interference. That rod that keeps probing in the light, that makes the light go on and off, will go out and our faith will be steady. No wavering anymore. Whatever we desire, it will be ours. God's just letting the devil probe in right now to keep us from getting too far along until the time appointed. Folks, you don't know what you got. I'll tell you tonight, you don't know what you got and you don't know who you are. Old Brother Peter, he said, as long as I'm tabernacling around in this old body, said, I'd like to tell you some things. Said, I know you already know it, but I want to stir up your pure mind and tell you all over again. He said, the Lord showed me shortly I'd put off my tabernacle. He said, and we want to get the other one. He said, we desire our other tabernacle in heaven, not made with hands. Is that right? Not that we desire to be unclothed, but we groan that we might be clothed upon mortality, swallowed up with immortality. He said, we've borne the image of that first Adam, which is the earthy. Isn't that right? But he said, in the spirit. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. In the spirit, I have another body. I have a spiritual body. Paul said, sown a natural, raised a spiritual. Sown a corruptible, raised incorruption. Is that right? Mortality puts on immortality. I've got another body in the spirit. It's the body of the Son of God. It's His image. In the spirit. In heaven, He called it. In the spirit. What kind of body is that? That's the image of the Son of God. We don't know what He looks like, but we know when He appears, we'll have that tabernacle that He spoke of. That was the image that He made us in. He made us in the image of God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, don't you believe it? He made Adam in the image of God. In the day that He created man, He made man in His image, but man fell from that image. And man's been in the image of the beast ever since. That's why they look like beasts, act like beasts, wiggle like beasts, devour each other like beasts. Hallelujah, I'm going to have to stop. You've been a good audience, and I ain't even hardly got to first base. If you'll pray, maybe we'll knock a home run tomorrow night. You know, they used to get the bases loaded, pinch hitters, you know, pinch hitting a little bit. And when they get the bases loaded, they'd get the babe concerning Ruth, and he'd knock a home run. That's what we need is the babe tonight. If the babe come on the scene, we knock a home run and unload the bases. That's all we need. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? God's good. All right, I want you to stand with me. There's so many things I wanted to say tonight concerning the conquering of death and the redemption of the body. And maybe I've got it far enough along that tomorrow night we can elaborate a little bit concerning the redemption of the body and maybe clarify the thoughts that we had in mind. You're such a good audience, such a lovely audience. Until I hate to keep you and weary you. You know, every once in a while, they send out about 50,000 harvester heralds into about 50,000 homes in every state in the United States and sometimes out of the states. And you know, out of all of those harvester heralds, we may send out 150,000 or something to that effect. And out of all of those, did you know that we won't get an average of more than 3 or 4 names that will get upset and write us about it? So you don't lose the people that you think you do. Over 100,000, 2 or 3, that's a pretty good average. And it's the same way under the tent. You don't lose many of them. Jesus said, I've not lost any of them, saving the son of perdition. Said, they went out from us, that it might be made manifest they were never of us. For He said, if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have stayed with the meeting. They would have continued with us, He said. All right, so it's good to be a Christian. It's so wonderful to know Jesus and feel His lovely presence. Something glorious is in store for the church, folks. We're here in North Carolina, Archdale, North Carolina, by revelation. And a great thing is taking place here in the Carolinas. The world doesn't see it. See, that's why it doesn't look great. See, the world loveth its own. The world magnifies its own. And the world won't magnify Jesus. Because, see, the devil is the prince of the world. And he's got control of the kingdoms of this world. And he won't magnify Jesus because he knows that Christ is predestined to take over the kingdoms of this world. See, not just an invisible spiritual kingdom. The Bible said God made the world to be inhabited. The just is going to inhabit the world. You say, Brother Pike, you confuse me. You say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that's of the world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and they that love the world will perish with it. And then you turn and tell me God so loved the world. Well, I've clarified that a lot of times by saying this, children of God. See, the Bible said God so loved the world, yet He tells us not to love the world. Now, what is the difference? See, God so loved the world the way it was when He made it in the days of the creation of the Garden of Eden. It was so lovely, it was so pure, and it was so beautiful. And it was so precious to mankind, and mankind so precious to it, and all of it so precious to God. God so loved it until when it went into sin and into darkness, that God personified Himself in a human body called the Son of God. He gave His only Son to redeem it from the evil, that He might bring it back to the condition of the garden by bringing in the millennium. Then we can love it again. Then we can love it as God loves it. Tonight we can love it as God loves it. But see, during the time of the darkness, during the time of the curse, God tells us, don't love the world and the things of the world while it's under the curse. Don't touch it while it's under the curse. Whatever God gives you, dedicate it to God. Pray over it. Utilize it for Christ. A wise man's substance is precious in his sight. If God gives him an automobile, take good care of it. But use it for the glory of God. Honor the Lord with it, and God will multiply it, and God will bless it. Dedicate it to God. Sanctify it. All God has in this world is what He gets through His saints. Did you know that? You know, we think God's down here in this world, and it's just a great big thing for God. But folks, that isn't true. Satan is the prince of this world. And this world is in total darkness. And the only light that is in this world is the little candle within you. The Bible teaches that you are God's light, a generation of light. And He tells us that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. Let's wash the soot off of the globe and shine for Jesus. Can we do that? That's what they did in the days of Gideon. They broke the little clay pitcher and let the light shine. And because the people was creatures of darkness, they fought one another. And the saints of God won the battle. If you want to confuse the devil, turn on the light. See, this world is darkness. When you and I get together and put our little lights together, we create a light. And then the Holy Ghost steps in the midst of it. See, God couldn't be in this world. God is the great light. If God was in this world, there wouldn't even be a world. John said when He came forth after the millennium that the earth passed away, the mountains passed away, the ocean passed away. See, God couldn't come into it. So the only way He can do it is by a measure of light. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And all He has in this world is what He has that was given Him through the death of Jesus, by faith of the saints of God. The price was paid. I believe, you believe, and then God has an inheritance through you. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we've got to resurrect the dead. That's why the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God when the saints rise up and take the kingdom. They'll give it back to God. Isn't that right? Something's taking place. Somebody said, I'm waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Somebody said, I'm waiting for God to come back and straighten things out and get this world straightened out. God's waiting on you. Said, pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. You're the one supposed to be doing the will on earth. Isn't that right? He's waiting on you. He does everything through mankind. All right. So then, we need to let our light shine. Do something for Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus together. And then after this, we'll let you go. Now, while we sing this chorus, I'm going to pray for you. And ask the Lord to give you a special touch in your body. If you'd like for me to lay hands on you tonight, I'll be glad to do it. I said tonight and tomorrow night that I was going to do that. Pray for you personally. And I believe with all of my heart that God will do something for you. I believe that. I believe it. We're going to sing this little chorus together. And if you want me to pray for you tonight, I'll be delighted to pray for you. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. This is an old song that we sang a lot of times. I really like this song. I guess because it means so much to me. The old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but tonight I see. Okay, let's sing it together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wreck like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Can you sing it with me? It was grace that taught my heart to fear. And it was grace my fears relieved. How precious did it, that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. In the new Jerusalem, sing it with me. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shiny crown. For when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Lamb will wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear that bright
and shine a crown. For when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem.
Can you say amen? We'll wear a crown when the battle is over. We will wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Tonight, I want to pray for these people. And I want to ask God to do something for them. And if you're bound tonight with spirits, some people are bound with spirits. If you're bound with spirits tonight, and you need deliverance, if there are spirits that harass your mind with evil thoughts, the Bible said to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. As David of old said, even to the intents of my heart, to have a pure mind. David said, stir up your pure mind, the mind of Christ. That's where your faith is. Stir it up. You've got the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us you have the mind of Christ. Stir up the mind of Christ. Tonight, if you're here lost and undone without God, if you're a backslider, I want you to come to the altar. You say, Brother Pike, if I come, I'll just fall away again. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be trying when Jesus comes than just to stand back and say, well, I can't make it. I might fall away a dozen times, but the Bible said a good man will fall seven times and get back up. The devil might knock him around, but he can get back up. Jesus fell under the load. As he walked to Calvary, he fell under the load, but he got back up to be our example. He fell under the load to let us know that we can get back up. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Hallelujah. I don't believe in boxing and football and all those kind of things, but they are typical of spiritual things. And many a boxer, great boxer, has been laid flat on the canvas, got back up and become the champion, took the belt. Hallelujah. If the devil knocks you down and you feel weak, the Bible said, let the weak say, I'm strong. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. He said, be strong in the power of my might. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Glory to God, you can stand. Stand like a man. Stand like a rock. Hallelujah. When you feel wavery and you feel like you don't have the strength, the devil will say to you, you can't make it. Stand. Take courage and stand in God. Folks, he'll give you help. He'll help you. He won't push you down. He loves you. He's got a tender hand outstretched. Listen. You know, we have all kind of thoughts, all kind of ideas about God. But let me tell you something about God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has one attitude toward humanity. What is that attitude? Peace on earth and goodwill toward man through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only opinion he's ever had of man. That is God's standard thoughts toward mankind. Peace on earth. God wants peace on this earth and goodwill toward mankind. That's his attitude. We're the one that gets all warped up in our thinking. We think he feels this way toward us, and we think he feels that way toward us, and we think it's some other way, but it's according to the scriptures, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. God's got a goodwill toward you tonight. He loves you. He pities you like dear children. He's got a goodwill toward you tonight. His will is good toward you tonight.
glad tidings of great joy. How beautiful are the feet of them that publish the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of great joy. I bring you glad tidings tonight. A Christ child is born unto you, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. You don't have to worry about the President of the United States or the President of Russia. Whatever, there is a Christ child tonight, and the government shall rest upon his shoulder. And we are his people. And the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God. You say, but Brother Park, the time isn't for it. That's what the scripture said. Even way back in the days of John, he caught the revelation. 96 AD, John stood up and said, by the voice of the Spirit, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Well, the problem is we've never wit that they have become his. We've never made the effort to rise up and take the kingdom and prove to the world that they belong to our God. We've never bothered to wit the redemption of our body, which he purchased with his blood. But folks, there's a message. And that message is going to tell you who you are and what you are and what you ought to be doing. And as you hear it and you believe it, faith is going to transformate you. Be therefore transformed by the renewing of your faith or your minds. Something's going to happen. God transformates you in your mind, translates you in your spirit, transfigures you in your body. You love him tonight? I love Jesus tonight. I love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up, can we? While we tarry for just a moment, I wonder if there's anybody else before we start praying. Perhaps you're lost and undone without God tonight. Maybe you feel you don't have a friend tonight. Maybe you feel like nobody cares for you tonight. But Jesus does. Jesus does. Hallelujah. I appreciate Brother Godwin and his companion coming up here tonight. Brother Godwin is a wonderful man. The ministers, the leaders, the overseers. Oh, hallelujah. A royal priesthood, a holy generation. Mighty men of valor, great and mighty men of God. You talk about statesmen, great statesmen like Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. Oh, you should know more about a son of God. A son of God. A real, genuine son of God. Someone who cannot die. Someone who cannot perish. Someone who knows all things. Someone who is exceedingly rich, abundantly and above all that you could ask or think. Someone who hath youth and health eternally that never shall yield it up. Did you know, perhaps in this audience tonight, there may be some kings here tonight. You know, there's going to be some kings in the millennium. Did you know that? God's got some kings in the earth tonight that's going to sit on thrones in the millennium. Somebody said, I think you esteem folks too highly, Brother Pike. The Bible said very highly for the work's sake. There are kings that's going to sit on the throne. How else can he be the King of kings and the Lord of lords? If there is no more kings, how can they come and throw their crowns down at his feet and say, thou art the King of kings? And the kings of the earth shall bring the glory into that city. And the Bible said that God hath made us kings and priests unto our God. And the kings of the earth shall come into that great city. The Bible said the 24 elders that are crowned as great kings, they fall down before the throne and they throw their crowns down. And they say, we thank thee, O God, for the kingdom thou hast given us. But thou art the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are a great people tonight, a royal generation, a holy priesthood.
How marvelous and how mighty. As I pray tonight, I want you to pray with me, will you? I'm going to pray earnestly and sincerely. And I believe that God will give us the desires of our heart, folks. If you're lost without God, don't go away without Him. It might prove to be fatal. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I pray for this sister. Lord, I want you to move this troubled mind. Lord, Satan has tried to trouble this woman, Father, as troubled waters. But may tonight the spirit of peace, the spirit of rest, the spirit of faith, and the spirit of confidence enter into this heart. Satan, thou troubling spirit, I adjure thee by God tonight and by the blood that was spilled at Calvary, take your flight in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus against you. Break the yoke, Father. Break the yoke. I feel you doing it. Break it. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray tonight that you will grant to this sister the desire of her heart. Father, her desire is to do something for you and to shine forth as a great light. And Lord, I believe you're going to let her do it. I believe that you'll do it. In the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the mighty power of God. Father, touch this little mother tonight. Give her strength to go on. Every day let her have the strength that she needs. Grant it, Father. I feel the Holy Ghost moving. Heal the spotty. Heal it, Jesus. Father, I pray for this woman. May thy spirit rest upon her. May thy blessings be upon her. May she receive the desire of the heart. Stretch out your great hand to her. Heal, Jesus. Heal the name of Jesus. Say, Father. Father, touch this sister tonight. Help her. Purify her heart. By faith. Oh, hallelujah, as I feel the Spirit. Father, heal the spotty. Bring forth the divine deliverance tonight. Heal. Father, deliver. Oh, God. Drive the evil suicide spirit away from this land. Father, that would threaten him from day to day. Oh, God, and help him to be strong in Christ. Help him to catch a vision and remember the Creator in the days of his youth. Father, touch this lad tonight. May thy strength that I feel right now. Hallelujah. May thy spirit that I feel right now enlarge his heart. Hallelujah. Create the faith in his heart that he's longing for. Jesus' wonderful, lovely name. Hallelujah. Father, touch this woman tonight. Help her not to have the feeling that she's left out. Oh, God, there's room at the cross. And there's room in the kingdom. Hallelujah. May thy spirit be upon her tonight. Hear from heaven, O Son of God. In the name of Jesus, as I feel your presence. Hallelujah. May every yoke be broken. And may she find her place in God. Father, touch this sister tonight. Let her come to the realization, oh God, that you are a Savior and that you are a healer. Help her, Father, to enlarge her faith tonight. Hear from heaven. Father, you said you'd hear from heaven and heal our lands. I ask you to hear from heaven tonight and do something special in this heart. In this home, I ask it in Jesus' name. Father, touch my sister tonight. Let the power of God come down tonight. May there be a healing tonight. May there be a deliverance tonight. May this woman find deliverance in her body tonight. Touch this little girl tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless her in a special way tonight. And oh God, touch this dad tonight. I ask you to give air down in them lungs, God. Strengthen him along. Let him breathe like he's never breathed before.
Let him have strength like he's never had before. Let him have a testimony like he's never had before. Do it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Can you come up just a little closer to the altar here? Lift your hands up and let's love God. I feel the presence of the Spirit here tonight. I feel God here tonight. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus for a special miracle for my brother. Dear God, look down from heaven. See a soldier of the cross. And oh God, though sometimes we're wounded in battle, yet God, you've got a medal of honor somewhere. Hallelujah. I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you touch the spot. Oh God, and give a mighty anointing upon the slide to break every yoke, to heal by the Holy Spirit in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ. Increase this faith in a great and in a mighty way. Hear, oh Lord, in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this mother tonight in the name of Jesus. God, break every yoke tonight. Help her, Lord, as she stands by her companion. Lord, to encourage him into the great things of God, knowing that they'll share together the reward of this man of God. I ask it in Jesus' mighty name tonight. Father, touch this man as I pray for him. Hallelujah. I feel your presence, Jesus, tonight. I ask you to heal this man tonight. May thy Spirit be among us tonight. May the waters be troubled tonight, that everyone that steps in can go away with their healing tonight. Father, touch this mother tonight. May the Spirit of God heal the spotty. May her heart and spirit be encouraged in the things of God. I pray that you touch this mother tonight. Dear God, give her a vision tonight. Give her a strong vision tonight. Let her have a vision, Lord, that she perish not. Help her, God, to have a strong vision in Christ tonight. Help her to create a vision, Lord, to walk on with thee, that the good things of God can come about in her life and in her heart. Father, bless this mother tonight. Lord, though she spent many years in being troubled, Father, but move the troubling spirit. I feel your Holy Ghost tonight. I feel your power tonight. I ask you to bring forth your manifold blessing in this life, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch this boy tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the Spirit of the Lord take away every bit of the haughtiness, every bit of the corruption, every bit of the wrong, Father. Give him a meek, humble spirit. Give him faith. Help him to trust in God and not in his own strength tonight, that it can be a mighty blessing in the kingdom of God. Father, bless my brother tonight. May the great power of God that I feel in my body right now, Lord, come upon him. I ask it in the name of Jesus. God, heal tonight. Anoint tonight. Oh God, break every yoke tonight and let him go free in the Spirit to enjoy the salvation of the Lord and to have the desire of his heart tonight. Grant it, oh God, as I feel his faith. Grant it. Lift it up as I feel his faith lifting up to thee. Grant it in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Father, bless Bill tonight. Let the power of God rest upon Bill. You said whoever we bless would be blessed. Whoever we curse would be cursed. I bless Bill tonight in the name of Jesus, Father. I pray for Jerry tonight. I ask you to touch Jerry tonight. Lord, take care of him on the road, the highways as he travels. Watch over him, Lord, on his job. Touch him in his body tonight. Make him a great light for God. Father, I pray tonight for Michael. I pray the great Spirit of the living God rest upon this man. Oh, God, bless him for the sacrifice that he's made. Give him strength in his body. Let him shine as a great light. Oh, Jesus, hear us tonight as we pray, Lord. Look down from heaven and heal tonight. Father, touch this precious person tonight.
Break every habit. Loose every bondage tonight. Take away every evil, Jesus. May the spirit of wisdom and strength rest upon him. Bless his little family and make provisions for him, God, that he can enjoy your wonderful presence. Touch this precious brother. Lord, here's a brother that's got a longing in his heart to do something for you. And I believe you're going to bless him. And I believe you're going to magnify him. And I believe you're going to lift him up. I believe you're going to strengthen him. Lord, look down on him. Look down on him and bless him in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little mother tonight. I pray for the great blessings of God. Lord, I pray the misery that this mother has experienced, Lord, that misery be taken out of her life. Oh, God, the weightiness, Lord, of nerve condition that rests upon this woman. Lord, I know that you're going to deliver tonight. Let her have peace. Let her have rest. Let her have strength tonight. Happiness and joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, bless this brother tonight. I pray for a special blessing for my brother tonight. Lord, touch Gary. Let him walk in the same steps of Jesus. Let him go the way that Jesus went. May the living God come down and visit him in the wee hours of the night and tell him the things that satisfies his soul. Father, touch this brother tonight. Let the great Spirit of God come down upon his body. May he experience that touch from heaven. Mighty God of heaven, oh Lord, there is the fountain that's flowing from Emmanuel's veins tonight. Hallelujah, and I pray that you'd wash Joseph White in the blood of the Lamb. Father, touch CB tonight. Continue the healing that you started in his body. May he reap a benefit of healing where his testimony can be great. Help him and strengthen him in the ways of the Lord. Father, touch my sister tonight in the name of Jesus. Let her be strong. Let her stand to the side of her companion. Bless his body and heal his body. And bless her and save their children. Let them be mighty people of God. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Father, bless this brother tonight. May thy spirit tonight rest upon him. May the power of God be upon him tonight. Oh Lord, let thy blessing go with him, that he can have the desire of his heart tonight. Father, bless this man tonight. Let him have the desire that he wants so much, Jesus, to work for thee, Lord, and to do thy bidding. Oh God, open a way. Make a way for this man. I ask it in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight. May the blessings of God come down upon her. I ask for your healing. I ask for your touch tonight. Mighty God of heaven, I feel your presence tonight. I ask you to heal this woman tonight. Take away every disease, Father. Help her to be strong in her body. Touch this, my sister, tonight. Take away the spirit of heaviness. Lord, you said you'd give us the spirit of joy, the spirit of gladness. Oh, Lord, bless this home. Encourage this faith. Satan, I adjure thee by the living God to take your hands off of my sister, to leave this vessel. Father, restore a joy to this heart. Restore a faith to this heart. I feel you doing it, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that thy spirit would rest upon Brother David tonight. Make him alive. Lord, you have made him alive. But let him shine sevenfold, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let his light so shine that other men may see the good works throughout the entire world, Father, and glorify our Father in heaven. Heal his body. Strengthen him, God. Bless his home. Save his children. Help him, Lord, with his substance that he's got dedicated to God in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight. Lift her up and encourage her. Help her to stand by her companion. Oh, God, if they walk a rough, rugged way, help them to be great soldiers of the cross. Father, touch Philip tonight. Dear God, if he ever returns to California, may he return with a real testimony of godliness, that they'll know that he's been with Jesus. Save him, Lord. Forgive him of every wrong. Make him a mighty man of God in the name of Jesus. Father, I bless this sister tonight. You said if I bless them, they'll be blessed. I bless her in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. I bless this sister in the name of Jesus. Lord, you saw her offering. You saw her gift. You saw her diligence and her concern.
Bless her tonight. Bless her companion tonight. Bless her home in the name of Jesus tonight. Oh, dear God, as I pray for my brother tonight, I pray that you would satisfy the longing of his heart tonight. I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, dear God, that you touch his body. I pray for this sister tonight in the name of Jesus, Father. I feel the great and mighty Spirit of the eternal God. And I pray that, oh Lord, that in the wee hours of the night, that you would visit her in dreams and in visions and tell her the way of the Lord. Encourage her heart. Oh God, make yourself real to her. Real in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, move this troubling spirit for my sister. Lord, that harasses her day and night. Move that spirit. Give her joy. Give her gladness, oh God. As I ask for thy presence tonight, I ask in the name of Jesus. Father, bless my sister tonight in the name of Jesus. Dear God, Lord, I pray that you'd lift this weight from off of this sister. Dear God, I see an attachment, Father, from Satan that causes her to draw back in the spirit. Father, when she has a deep embedded desire to break forth as a light for Christ, let her be a light tonight. Bless her tonight, Lord. Heal this body. Break the yoke off and give her strength in the name of Jesus to be bold as a witness for God. Bless my precious brother tonight. Oh God, that's been so diligent to stand by us. Dear God, to come here and to help. I'm asking a special blessing. I bless him tonight in the name of Jesus. I bless his substance in the name of Jesus and his little family in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, bless this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. I ask you to help her, strengthen her, help her to stand the bill tonight and to do a great work for God. Lord, bless my sister. Help her to come into the reality of Christ and to know that God is real. Help her to have a vision that she might be a light to her family and cause her family to come to Christ. Father, I pray for my sister tonight. Lord, I believe tonight that she wants to serve you, Jesus. I believe that she wants to be alive. Heal the spotty. Heal the spotty. Lift the soul up, Father. Let her light come. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, break the yoke from off of my sister. Let her rejoice in the Spirit. Let her faith go up to God. Let her have the joy that her heart's longing for. That joy, Lord, that she's one time filled. That joy she's one time known, Jesus. Let it be in the name of Jesus tonight, Heavenly Father.
Just what I wanted.
I pray in the name of Jesus. I ask for your healing tonight. I ask for your salvation tonight. May she feel that great power of God that's coming down out of heaven tonight. Heal this body. Break the yoke. Bring thy spirit into this heart in a great and in a mighty way, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Deliverance is what I wanted.
Lift your hands up and love the Lord tonight.
And I got just what I wanted.
Hallelujah. I feel God tonight, don't you? I feel God tonight. Hallelujah. I feel God moving tonight. I feel the Spirit of God tonight. Breaking the yoke. Let the captive go free. Hallelujah. Father, heal this mother tonight. Give her the desires of her heart tonight. God, break every yoke, break every bondage. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel you, Jesus. Touch my brother tonight. Let the mighty power of God come upon him. Oh, hallelujah. As I feel your presence, break the yokes off. Lord, let these people go free. Give a revival in the Carolinas. Oh, mighty God of heaven. Give a revival in the Carolinas. I ask you to heal my brother. Touch my brother. Give my brother the desires of his heart tonight. Let his cup run over. Hallelujah. Let his cup run over in Jesus. Father, bless this brother tonight. Heal him tonight. Save tonight and forgive tonight. Strengthen tonight, Father. Help him to be alive. Bless this sister, Father, and this little family. Let the love of God be in this heart. Let the light of God come down tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him tonight. Hallelujah.
Father, bless my sister tonight. I feel your lovely presence, Jesus. I ask you to heal tonight. Whatever the desire of this heart is, thou knowest, O Father. Lord, give her a closer walk with you. Just a closer walk with thee. Oh, grant it, Jesus, if you please. Hallelujah. Yea, I speak unto thee this night. I have stretched out a hand unto thee, and I have called unto thee that thou shouldest come and sup with me and walk with me. For yea, I delight in thee, and I would bless thee tonight, and I would stretch forth my hand tonight and satisfy the longing of thine heart. But thou must allow me to come in. Thou must draw nigh unto God and come close to me. Yea, and if thou shalt listen to me this night, the yoke that troubles thee shall be broken off of thee, and thou shalt be a light among the people of this day, and the blessing of the Lord shall rest upon thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch this my sister. Encourage her heart, Jesus. Lord, she wants to be a light. Bless her tonight in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, bless my sister tonight. May thy spirit be with her. Bless her, Jesus, and let great and mighty things happen in this family, God. Anoint these people to do a work for you. I believe you will, in Jesus' name. Bless this sister, Father. Break this evil habit from out of her life, that she can have the victory, God. And Lord, not be harassed with those evil habits, dear God, that binds her down, that keeps her from having the victory in Christ Jesus. I ask you to cleanse her life, purge her, and help her to be a light in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus. Father, bless Dave tonight. May the great spirit of the Creator of heaven and of earth rest upon him. May the power of God be upon him tonight. Let a double portion of our spirit rest on him tonight. Oh, mighty God of heaven, that he can sweep this earth with the testimony of Christ in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus. Father, bless this little mother tonight. Give her strength. Give her desire. Give her an ambition. Lord, open the things of heaven until her heart can rejoice in thee. Help her, Lord, to be strong in the Spirit of the Lord as she walks with thee. Bless this brother, Lord. Let thy great spirit be upon him tonight. Help him to be a light such as he's never been in all of his life. I believe you're going to do that, God. I want your spirit to rest on him in Jesus' name tonight. Father, bless my sister tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, dear God, help her to draw nigh unto thee. Oh, Lord, I know that you have something, Lord, that you would like to do in this life. And I believe she's sincere. Help her to come into holiness. Oh, God, to perfect holiness in her life, that she can be a great testimony among the people. I ask it in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, bless Willie tonight. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Touch him in the name of Jesus tonight, I pray thee. Father, touch my brother in the name of Jesus tonight. Let thy spirit rest upon him. I ask in the name of Jesus tonight that you touch him by your spirit. Hallelujah.